Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Good evening, my dear brothers, sisters, and friends. Today is the 22nd of June 2012. We are having our weekly meditation session. How are you today? I hope that you did enjoy your week. Today, during this activity, do you have any question to ask? Usually if the Thais choose a topic and I just keep talking, and very rarely you have chance to ask questions. So if you have anything to ask, anything related to your practice, you will think about. My dear brothers and sisters, in the Buddhist tradition, all the monastics will have 3 months during the rain season. And this is what we call raining retreat. In India, they only have 3 seasons: raining, summer, and winter. They don't have autumn. In Pali word, they call Vasa. Vasa means raining. And usually at the Buddha's time, all the monks walk from village to teach. And when at night, they sleep under a tree. So it is very difficult for the monks to sleep outside like that during the winter, during the raining. So therefore, the Buddha make the decision that all monks should come to one place, stay in one place during the 3 months, during the raining seasons. And that tradition happened, continue yearly to all the monastics. So every year, all the monastics must organize 3 months for the retreat. And usually they come together, they stay to one place to have more practice and more learning. Usually they invite the senior monks to give a lecture. And the young monks, if they have questions, they can come and ask. So they come together as a community, lives in harmony and practicing, or more meditation, more lecture, more chanting, etc. And we have 2 traditions. In Mahayana, they start from April, the fourth month in the lunar calendar. So that usually happened after the Vaisak, the Buddha's birthday celebration. So, for example, right now, it is during just the past 2 or 3 weeks of the raining retreat, according to the Mahayana tradition. But in Theravada tradition, they will start another next month, they will start. So they finish around September or October, after 3 months. So all the both traditions, Mahayana or Theravada, they also have the raining retreat, but just 1 month before. We start at the fourth month, they start at the sixth month. And usually this is the chance for all the lay people so they can come and practice together with the monks or the nuns. And they also, this is a chance for them to make offering. Usually they cook food and they bring over to offer at the lunchtime. And there's another way. You must have at least 5 bhikkhus. Bhikkhu means the fully ordained monks. So they must have at least 5 in order to organize the retreat. Otherwise, we just what we call the self-retreat. You stay where you are and you recognize this is the raining retreat. So you make your own vow to stay at the temple more than you travel in order to talk, in order to practice, unless you need to really need to go for lecturing at other places, and you can go, but you will return after that. In our monastery, we don't have enough bhikkhus, so that's why we do follow the tradition that we stay in the temple, and all the monastics in this monastery make the vow. Today is the starting point for the raining retreat. We are the monastics in this monastery. We declare that we will practice more in the temple during these 90 days. So we will continue for the retreat until September. So that is the tradition, what we call the Vaisa. Vasa means raining. In India and in Vietnam and China right now, a lot of rain. So when it's raining like this, it's very difficult, very inconvenient to stay outside and to walk around to give lecture. And we stay in the temple unless we have something very urgent to go out. But we must request the senior monks, to the community of monks, to accept our request to go out, and we will return on time. If you cannot make it on time, you have to connect back to your monastery in order to extend your reason in order to stay longer outside. And usually this time very less go out, socialize, more practice, more chanting, more meditation, in order to increase the inner practice for yourself. In Buddhist practice, and we hope that we can move forward in our practice daily. If we practice, then we feel that we don't want to continue in some way. And that means our awakened mind, our path, our intent of practice has been not nourished well. So we need to nourish the mind of practice in us strongly each day. We all, for example, we all like to sleep in. We don't want to do anything, like usually in the morning. Very hardly to for us to wake up. We can stay late, we can sleep late, but we don't want to wake up early to practice. And that will happen to every one of us. If any day you're so sleepy and you feel that you want to sleep in. And sometimes that happened to me too. But the minute of that kind of mind arise in me, the second thought I remember, if I don't wake up to join the chanting or the meditation with the Sangha, it's not correct, not right, because I am the eldest monk in the temple. So it makes me awake and to practice. We have to think in such a way to pull us away from the bed. Somebody, they like to practice. But sometimes the ghost of laziness very strong in them. They're unable to control. They're unable to tame. They're unable to maintain. So therefore the Buddha gave us 6 ways that we should nourish in order to continue our path. And the very first one is we only do some work that related to our practice. If not, we have no more time to do anything else. It will attract us a lot. For example, if you are the monks, you only do something within your monkshood, like you counseling for members, you do chanting, anything that related to your monk's life. But if you are the monks and you do something, you know, more than a monk should do, and that will take a lot of your time, then you have no more time to practice. And after you run out, you are unable to do anything else. You just, you know, after a long day, you just ruin your day, you just out of your power, and you are unable to meditate, you are unable to do chanting, something like that. So do something within your capacity, and that will nourish your practice. That at least give you some time to practice. Otherwise, you have no more time for your own practice. And that is the experience of the Buddha. Anything the Buddha taught us, the Buddha must reflect, and sometimes the Buddha practice and he experience, and that is not the best way. That is not a better way. So he share with us. For example, the Buddha also practiced the ascetics. Like he slept only a few hours a day, or sometimes he did not eat for a week or a few months. And after that, the body is so weak, unable to practice. So the Buddha refused. If you read the history of the Buddha, and you will understand this lesson, the Buddha said, all of the ascetic way, I have been practiced. And I realized they are not the good way to practice. We should follow the middle path. When you eat, when you're hungry, get something to eat. But you don't have too much busy about your fancy food. Just find something that's still healthy, that's still nourished, that's able to nourish your body. That's good enough. We still need to eat, but not too much time for your food, for your cooking. And after that, you cannot do anything. And that is one of the experiences. Some people, they are very important about their meal. So they put a lot of time to cook for them and for everyone. And after that, there are no you know, you explode. You cannot. Sometimes you don't want to eat because you're too tired. That is only one example. For example, young monks. The Buddha have young monks at his time. It's very famous one is Rahula. 7 years old, he practiced as a beginner, a young monk, a novice. The Buddha gave him some time to play, but not too much. Because if you play too much, you will sunk in that kind of habit and you are unable to practice. So the Buddha gave him the deal. You practice and then you can play. You play, you have to practice. There's no way that you play all day. Same time as home. If you look after your kids, you do the same. You have to deal with them. You play game in such a time during the day, but let most of your time for your study. You only allow to play game in the weekend for 1 or 2 hours, and then you need to find something else to do, not only electric game. Right now you can see there are a lot of bad news around the world. How people kill each other, how people doing a lot of criminal things. Where are they come from? From movies, from games, from social life with bad friends. So the atmosphere around us also very important. So the Buddha said one of the way to support your practice is social life with good friends. If in the community you find some brothers or some sisters or some friends that give you a lot of learning from them, you should go along with them, learn from them. Because they will support your practice and you also support for your practice. Last week I was in Dallas and I met some of the young friends at my age. And they're very happy to attend a retreat. They're very happy to listen to the Dhamma talks. And they share with me that 5 or 6 months ago, if somebody come to them and talk about, you know, religions, talk about practicing, they don't want to hear. But one day, one of the friends called them to the temple just for a visit. They follow. But in that visit, they have met the monks. They have listened to the few words from the monks. Awake. They are awake. And now, he just emailed me yesterday, Thai, I tried to cut off my cable. I tried to cut off some of the unnecessary things. I will ask my friends to teach me how to meditate more, how to do chanting. He's very addicted to TV. He told me that. He works 12 hours a day and after home, he just sits in front of the TV until he falls asleep. Nothing else. And now he reflects back and he learned that just waste time. I don't mean watching television is not right, but we should know what channel to watch. We should know what program to watch in order to learn and how much time we should. The Buddha said we have 24 hours a day. We should divide our day meaningful and moderate. Not just, you know, something you like and you just put all your time into that, and that's not good. Even meditation. You can practice like a maximum 2 hours. And then you need to release and you take some walk. Otherwise, the blood is not circulate well in your body. So the Buddha never encouraged anything is unmoderate. We should moderate everything. Even the practice, even the walking, even the eating, everything. So the fourth the fourth contemplation during the meal. May I take only food that nourish my body and prevent illness. And the third contemplation during the meal is moderation your meal. Even something you like very much, but make sure when you take them, you have to think about the people at the back. So we should leave some for the people that come behind us. They will have some, we will share with them either. And if something we overeat, it's not well. It will make us sick. In Vietnamese, we used to say, if you overeat, no more tasty. If you over your hot temper, you will say something silly. Like if you eat too much, you too full, you will tire, and the meal is not tasty anymore. When you are angry, very, very angry, you will say something to hurt your loved one. That is the comparison. That is the one of the examples. Socialize with friends. Socialize, we don't try less socialize with all the activities. I have a young boy that I knew. He is a very talented boy and very handsome boy. And one day, he never attend the bar. He never go to bar. And one day when he turned 18 years old, his friends, after he graduated from high school, his friends tell him, today we would like to celebrate your graduation by bringing you to the bar. So let's go with us. So that is the first day he attended the bar. But very unfortunate for him, there's a group of people who try to find the enemy in that bar. And each of them hold a very strong metal stick and waiting for that enemy to come out and to kill that enemy. But when this boy stepped out, they did not look clearly. They thought he is the guy that they are looking for. So more than 15 guys step in, jump in, and hit him by the metal sticks. He died right away. Very painful for the family, because he is a very good boy. He just study. He never do anything wrong. He listen to the family, but you know, because just one day attend, go to the bar, and something happened to him in that way. He died. I still have his picture at the back hall. So when we reflect on that, and we should know that that's why the Buddha said, if there are the places not necessary for us to attend, we should not, we try not to come. Or if we do, then less. Because we never know what happened, what will happen to us. Conversation is also will give us a lot of we will lose a lot of energy in the practice, and you especially unmindful conversation. When we come as a group, 2, 3 or more, we start some of the conversation, and the conversation nothing related to what we need to discuss, and we start to gossiping about other stuff from people, and that will cause a lot of problems. And I work in the community and I very experienced about this. If we come together and we discuss things that is not related to the practice, not related to our mindful practice, and the unmindful conversation will come up. And after that, a lot of problems. And sometimes because of one conversation, they misunderstanding, they can have an argue and they don't talk to each other anymore. They don't want to look at each other anymore. So the Buddha said, less unmindful conversation. And that will support for your practice. I remember when I was a novice, and there is a very beautiful message from our master. We should memorize by heart. We have to memorize them by heart. And that is called the encouraged words of Wishan Master. Michael, you know that book? And I remember one paragraph that the master mentioned. Usually, after the meal, there's nothing to do. You will come together as a group of 3 or 7. You start to talk. You start to gossiping about other people. You never know. During the time you talk like that, you waste your time. You burn your merits. And you ruin your day. You waste the donation, the offering from the members. So every time when we come together and we gossiping at somebody's life, and we know that we have waste time, we come to the practice center to practice, not to gossip. And this is something all the monks, the nuns, remind very often during the retreat. Because when we come as a group of many people, a lot of things, you know, people try, like to share. We always remind, very mindful on your conversation. And if you listen carefully to the 4th mindfulness training that we recite once a month, and in the 4th mindfulness training, the Buddha remind, aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and an inability of listening deeply. Words can cause happiness. Words can cause suffering. Therefore, we vow, we talk in such a way to bring happiness for ourselves and for others. And the 5th precept, the 5th mindfulness training, aware of the suffering caused by unmindful consumption for both physical and mentally. We only take things that nourish the body and nourish the mind. TV programs, electric games, conversation, books, magazines, novels. Sometimes, some of them, totally nothing nourish our mind, our body. They just give us more passion, desire, anxiety, craving, sorrows. Somebody, they like to watch movies. In Vietnamese, we have a very special kind of movie we call Cải Lương. Cải Lương means very old-fashioned opera. And usually that lot of cries, lot of sins that you must cry along with them. And somebody, they like to rent a lot of movies like that with a box of tissue. And every time when they watch in that movie, whatever they sing, they talk, and they cry in there, we also cry out here. the more they cry in the movie, we name them good movie. We sometimes I teasing them, I say, you give the money to buy your tears. You waste your tears, waste your time and another box of tissue. But people like in that way. So the Buddha mentioned that is one of the food that never nourish your mind. So find some food that able to nourish your mind. Today, before dinner, I have a phone call from a member. She called and she cried on the way to the airport. She said, "Thay, yesterday, every day I met my mother on webcam, Yahoo Messenger, every morning. And yesterday, same time, she called back home and her sister-in-law went to the bedroom and called her mother to wake up to have breakfast. And the mother said, I need more sleep. So the daughter-in-law left the bowl of soup there and she went for a grocery. And after she went back, and she realized her mother-in-law passed away. And that lady in Vietnam is the mother of one of the members in Edmonton. And she said, I need to go back to Vietnam right away. And it is unbelievable. I just talked to my mom yesterday morning in Vietnam and evening here. And today at the same time I call. When I call back home, my sister-in-law went into the bedroom and called my mom, but she passed away. And she said, "Thay, now I experience what the Buddha called impermanent. Life is like that, very fragile." And yesterday I emailed one of the lady who emailed me for some question. And at the end of the email, I also mentioned, lately, you know, I really deeply recognize how fragile of life. Very fragile, very short. So we need to put down a lot of unnecessary things. Put more time and effort into our practice. Otherwise, we have no way to go. Good words, good friends, less conversation, less socialize. And those are the things will help us, support us a little bit in the practice. Of course, we need to devote more time by ourselves. But the atmosphere, the people surround, also affect our practice too. So we need both supporting the inside of us, the intent of practice within us, and also things surround. For example, you come to the Sangha to practice, it's always more support than you stay home by yourself. Because the Sangha will give you the energy of the practice. Next week we will have tea meditation. And we will have 2 days for the summer retreat. Because I know a lot of the sister and the brothers unable to take a vacation by the time we organize the retreat. So therefore, in order to help them to attend, I hope that you're able to make only 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, July 28th. And July 29th. So please mark that in your schedule. You try to make to attend these 2 days with the Sangha, July 28th, Saturday, and July 29th, instead of Friday. But we move this to Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully that you're able to make it and support for the summer retreat. And the health retreat will be on September 28th, 29th, and 30th. May you be well and enjoy your weekend.